can view football however they want. How I view it is different. And what I'm going at is like team building. I think we do this thing like, do you have a franchise quarterback? Is he going to play 15 years for you? It's like, dude, you know how many few guys play 15 years in the NFL, let alone on one team as the starting quarterback?
Well, we do this every year. It's, oh, we're going to go division by division. Who's going to be the winners? Every single year, you're just going to take the best quarterbacks. That's what people do. But every single year, you're going to be wrong because things change. Well, because things change somewhat to that.
No, I would agree.
Because I don't think anyone had the Bo Nix Broncos in the playoffs last year.
Yeah, but they didn't win the division.
They didn't win the division, but they made the playoffs, is what I'm saying.
Sure.
So, like,
there'll be some upset surprises.
Yes.
But, like, in terms of team building, it's really like a 2 to 4 year window, right? Give or take. It might be even, you know, it might just straight up be 3 years. I mean, if you look at the Shanahan era, 2017, 2018, 2019, it felt like they were building up a window to something. And then 2020, a lot went wrong. Mm-hmm. Now, that was like a 3 year run, if you will. And then, because 2017, they were basically an expansion franchise. But because of the George Kittle draft pick, because of the Jimmy Garoppolo trade, that set you up for that window. Now, are there carryover players from one window to another window? Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. George Kittle's still here, right? Now, that 2021, 2022, 2023 team felt like a three-year window team. And there were some different parts. You know, Ayuk emerged throughout that time and became a totally different player from 2021 through 2023. Dre Greenlaw really emerged during that time. Talanoa Funga had stepped up.
Mm-hmm.
Brock Purdy emerged late in 2023. Or excuse me, late 2022 and then into 2023.
Who could forget?
Jimmy Garoppolo faded, obviously. But that was like a three-year run. 2021, 2022, 2023. And then last year, 2024, similar to 2020, just is the end of the run.
Yep.
It just is. So I look at this 2025 as the start of kind of Kyle Shanahan 49ers 3.0. And that's how I'm viewing it. Are there some carryovers? Yeah, there is. There's Brock. There's Kittle. There's Bosa. There's Warner. Now, some of those guys have been a part of different versions of this team. Brock, this is kind of his second little gonna go around with this squad. And they're building the nucleus around them. I find that to be fun and exciting. And I am ready, and I don't know how many other people are with me here, I'm ready to turn the page from the Super Bowl. I don't want to hear about the Super Bowl. Is it a reference point? Yes. Are we going to talk about last year? Absolutely. Because everything is going to be contrasted with what you just did last year. Who was the DC last year? Who was your personnel last year? How bad were you on this particular play and that play? And what did you in? And wow, look how much different CMC is this year versus last year because he barely played. Like, we're going to contrast last year, no doubt about it. I am done hearing and talking as a fan base about the Super Bowl.
888-957-9570. It's hard for fans to not forget, though, and they're never going to forget.
I didn't say forget.
I know, you didn't say
I said I don't want to talk about it.
But it's hard to, not only you can't forget about it, it's going to be on top of your mind all the time. And it's just going to keep going back. Oh, we were so close. We were so close.
No, we got to move past it.
You have to. Yeah, I'm with you, but it's very difficult for fans to do that. That's why I want to take the temperature right now, 888-957-9570. Niner fans, are we hot or cold on this team right now heading into training camp? Starts today, on the field activities, in the shorts, pads start next week. Are we hot or cold on this team right now? You spoke about this new iteration of the Niners.
It's 3.0. It's Kittle 3. I mean, Kittle. It's Kyle Shanahan 3.0.
He spoke to Tim Kawakami via the TK show. It launched yesterday, this entire podcast. Really good stuff. Tim Kawakami sitting down with the head coach of the 49ers. He talked about losing key players from the previous core in his sit down.
But to lose some of these guys, yeah, a little depression adds. One, they're really good players. Can't win without good players. Two, I'm very close with some of these guys. I've gone through 8 to 6 years with all of them. So that's also a big deal. And you don't know how you're replacing them either. And then there comes the anxiety of what you talk about of just being a true coach. Well, I'm just a coach. I'm not thinking business. It's like, wait a second. Who is there? Well, we got to find one in the draft. We'll try to find one in free agency, but why don't you go get this guy? Why don't you go get that guy? Like, well, because it costs too much money. And sometimes you're in a position where you can go spend that money. And we have. We spend money, but that's the rules with the league. You got to balance it out the right way. So, like, I will never, I've done this too long, and I grew up doing it, being around it too much, that I will never make an emotional attachment decision. It all has to do with what will get me the most emotionally is what helps us win now. But what is always in my mind is what can help us have sustained success. And those are the two things that you tie together.
And that was Kyle Shanahan on the Tim Kawakami Show. By the way, some of those key departures that we're talking about, the unrestricted free agents who did depart, Dre Greenlaw, gone. Charvarius Ward, gone. Isaac Yiadom, gone. Elijah Mitchell, gone. Jaylon Moore, gone. it says Tashaun Hufanga. Talanoa Hufanga, gone. And then veterans that were released or cut, Javon Hargrave, Malik Collins, Leonard Floyd, Tabor Pepper, your boy, Mitch Wishnowski, Alex Barrett, Deshaun White, and that totaled in $38.2 million in dead cap savings there. So a lot of players from that, you know, 2.0 version of the Niners, as you're alluding to with Shanahan, are gone. And this is going to be a new team. It's going to be different. And it's going to be an adjustment period for fans, for the players, for the coaching staff. This is going to be an adjustment. How much of an adjustment? Can they still be a playoff team? I absolutely think they can. I think they can win the division. I think they have a very good shot at still winning the division because, as you've alluded to, you have all pro players at key positions still. You have a damn good quarterback in Brock Purdy. I know people want to say, is he a top five? Is he top 10? Is he elite? I know he's a damn good quarterback when he's on. And that's all I need to know right now. Brock Purdy's a damn good quarterback and you have him locked up now. Okay? You got George Kittle, who was the best, if not the second best, tight end in football in all of last year and has been 1A, 1B to Travis Kelce for most of his career. You have him locked up. Fred Warner, best linebacker in football. I'm not taking anybody else. All right? So you have key positions that were there. Nick Bosa, I still think he's a top five defensive end. Now, has he lived up to the contract? This is a different story. I still think most teams would love to have a Nick Bosa season from last year. Okay?
Would you also just like, as we kind of looking at this, there's got about six or seven new starters on defense.
Yes.
So
that isn't, again,
I think that's going to be a big word. Like, we're predicting divisions and wins.
Sure, no.
I think we have to, like, we have to let the process play itself out, and we've got to see who's playing where.
Yes.
You know,
that's why I said adjustment. It's going to be adjustment period for everyone, but we're impatient as fans when it comes to baseball, when it comes to basketball, and especially football, Joe.
But this team,
we are the most impatient when it comes to our football teams. We just are.
But this team, I think, similar to the Rams a couple years ago, it's really impossible to project what the defense is going to look like without not, we don't even know the personnel. Like, that's number one.
Correct.
We think some of the rookies are going to start where they start, but we don't even know if they're any good as players.
And there might be injuries. Hey, listen, like, no one saw the Ricky Pearsall situation happening last year. No one.
Yeah, but they headed into the season thinking that they didn't need him.
Exactly.
They thought that they, you know, like, I think at the time, most people thought that, hey, he was a luxury pick. We've got Juwan as the three. We've got Ayuk and Debo as the one and two.
Turned out it actually was a depth pick that no one saw coming because, and the Niners didn't feel like it was a depth pick at that point. They thought, you know, I don't know what the hell is going to happen with Brandon Ayuk. I don't know what's going to happen with Debo Samuel. But clearly they missed Ricky Pearsall just having the body out there, right? As he was recovering both physically and emotionally from the gunshot wound.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the team right now. I mean, just look at who your depth chart is right now. Like, it's an interesting look. Like, on defense in particular, I don't know how anyone could sit here and have any idea of what their defense is going to look like. Obviously, Saleh coming back as a DC. We really haven't seen him up close and personal outside of that one Jets game in the last 3-4 years.
Right.
Right. So I don't know what he's evolved into. I don't know what his principles are currently. I don't know what he's going to lean into. You know, going off what he did 5 years ago, like I think he's grown since then. Right. And
yes.
And the personnel is dramatically different. D winners. We saw a little bit of D winners in the Dre Greenlaw spot. But if I told you Nick Martin took his spot, and who's the rookie that they drafted? Okay, yep. I don't even know what kind of player D. Winters is currently. How could I even begin to assess what Nick Martin's going to look like? When I had Dre Greenlaw and Fred Warner, I had a pretty good idea what the D was going to look like.
Well, it's a good point. And I'll say this, because you like to give credit to Shanahan when it comes to mixing and matching the wide receiver core. Whoever's doing it, if it's John Lynch, if it's Kyle Shanahan, if it's both of them in tandem, whoever the scouts are when it comes to linebackers for San Francisco have been crushing it in the Lynch Shanahan era. Whether it's Dre Greenlaw, Fred Warner, Azeez Al-Shaair, yeah. right? Felt like they kind of missed that guy, just yeah. having that depth there.
Well, he was also a guy that would get an ugly flag, too.
Well, he did that last year for the Houston Texans,
I love that about him.
Was it Trevor Lawrence? Is that what it was, right? Yeah, so.
You know, like, I look at their, like, we talk about linebackers. Like, this team has been led by their linebacker play. I know we always say, like, oh, the D-line, and there's no doubt the D-line has been a strength of the team when they've been good. But the linebackers
have been the linebacker.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, when these two play the way that they play, they're unbelievable. So we'll see, like, who's sitting there next time. Then I look at the defensive line. All right, Elliott Jordan. We got a little look at him last year.
Jordan Elliott?
Elliott Jordan. Jordan Elliott. Thank you. Most people recognize him from his time with Cleveland, right? Like, they have an idea, but D tackles, that's not a sexy thing that we talk about much, unless you are one of the Aaron Donalds or DeForest Buckners.
Chris Jones, exactly. There's like three or four of them that you're going to like talk about.
So,
that's it.
Right now they have projected, you know, whether it's Kevin Givens, who was here a few years ago and is now back, whether it's him, whether it's Alfred Collins, who's the rookie that they drafted. I don't know.
We'll see. Yeah.
Khalil Davis has been here a couple years. Yeah. Haven't seen a lot of him. And then, you know, you got Bryce Huff, who was iced out in Philadelphia, who was good with the Jets when Saul had him. I don't know what he is currently. And I don't know if Mykel Williams is ready to contribute. Could he be Manny Lawson? Sure, I could see that. Could he be Alden Smith? Okay, that would be a leap because Alden was incredible. Yeah. Or is he somewhere in between? Like, I don't know. So I'm looking at just the front seven. There are so many question marks to make a projection on 11 wins, 12 wins. I got to see these guys.
888-957-9570 is the number. And another player that was just added to a thin grouping, Equanimeous St. Brown, wide receiver, 6'5", started his career with the Green Bay Packers, played most recently with the Chicago Bears. Obviously, you look at just the size, it's like, okay, is this a guy that they're going to have just in case Jennings in this holdout lasts longer than you think? Is he a camp body? Who knows? But that's something that they're adding right now. It's just a great name. It's like
how many career catches for him?
Let me see right here. Can you guess?
There's more consonants in his name than there are catches.
Obviously, brother of who? Amon-Ra St. Brown. And by the way, that dad is something else. Amon-Ra,
love the dad.
I was watching something with him. He's like
a Mr. Bodybuilder.
I don't know where it started when you said, someone said that 5 and 6 year olds can't be lifting weights and it stunts their growth. I don't know who said that, but it's ridiculous. I was like,
that's the reason I get pissed.
He also believes in drinking soda to like heal cramps. Like, he's all about, no, he's like dead serious.
I heard pickle juice for players. They drink pickle juice for that, which is an interesting one.
How many career catches for this guy, St. Brown?
63.
Okay.
Career highs 21 and 22 with the Bears and also in 2018 with the Green Bay Packers.
I'm not going to knock it, but I told you.
He didn't play last year, by the way. Played in 2023. I don't know if he was rehabbing from an injury or not. Sixth round pick out of Notre Dame. You remember him in Notre Dame, don't you?
Yeah.
No, you don't. That's your favorite team. You didn't even know he played there.
No, I know he played there, but he wasn't very,
No, it was just a name. You just thought of the name.
Yeah.
The name.
So anyway,
there's no Golden Tate, obviously.
You're all over the place with the old school.
Well, I just like feeding.
Tim Brown's the greatest wide receiver. And Jack Snow. I mean, that's who are the best.
Well, Jeff Samardzija, right? Tight end. Legend. Well,
I mean.
Come on.
He actually played wide receiver, I believe.
Was he not a tight end?
Wide receiver.
Well, might as well. Turned into a tight end in Major League Baseball.
He was definitely big. He'll always have that game against USC.
There you go.
But look, the offense we'll get to. The defense has so many questions. I don't even know who's starting in the secondary at safety right now.
Yeah.
Right? That's... So I just named, there might be seven faces that we don't know about today. There might be seven jobs up for grabs. Seven.
Yeah. Again, adjustment period for the next couple months for the players, the coaching staff, the fan base. And are we feeling hot or cold about it? 888-957-9570. We're taking a temperature check of the San Francisco 49ers offseason. And here's Kyle Shanahan again on with TK talking about how this offseason was different than previous ones.
The biggest difference going into this offseason was just that we wanted all the people to show up and put that work in. It was also that how different our team was going to be. And we've known this is coming for a while. The time that it hit me the most was like halfway through the year in 2023. Like when and that's how everything does. But when you talk about a trade deadline there, everyone's talking about what trade do we need to make to make a run to win the Super Bowl and stuff, which you always want to look into. But there was a lot of issues coming up on the horizon that you could see possibly in 24 and 25, especially anytime you have a quarterback in a rookie deal that allows you to have all these guys. But you knew that was ending. So there had been some stress about that for a while.
Kyle Shanahan on with Tim Kawakami. And I just think this offseason, at least for me, it's just been so refreshing to just putting all the drama aside. And I know the Juwan Jennings thing. So on the drama scale for me, though, that's like if we're grading it from A to like an F, that's like a D. It's like whatever. It's not the Juwan Jennings thing is going to get sorted out. I'm not worried about it. It'll figure itself out. Like, he's not Jamar Chase. He's not Justin Jefferson. Hell, he's not Brandon Ayuk. He's not even Debo Samuel. He was the de facto number one last year, but I'm not worried about that. It's going to get handled. So all the drama, for the most part, getting pushed out the window, and we don't have to deal with it as a fan base, and I'm sure as a head coach, was really refreshing. It had to have been.
Contracts aside, I think the most important thing to monitor just over the first couple of weeks is like CMC. And it's not like, does CMC look like CMC? It's, can CMC just play every day? Does he practice every day? Can he get in and out of these practices? I think that's the most important. Not like, how hard is he running? You know, how explosive does he look? We know they don't tackle to the ground when it comes to the running backs. And they're definitely going to pick and choose their spots with him. Kittle doesn't play a lot in preseason. No. In practice, he wears specific, colored jerseys that are off to the side. And he does a lot of like individual work. And then like he'll mix in and out. Trent will take certain days off.
He's older.
Yeah. But I think when I look at them, like, those are the guys, Fred, Trent, Kittle, CMC. Can those guys just all get through this particular training camp's time, this first couple of weeks, just practicing as much as possible with no setbacks?
Well, that's just it right there. No setbacks for me. It scares the hell out of me. And we're going to do Spadoni's Circle of Trust at some point today in regards to the group positions, all of it, and how we're feeling about it, whether they're in my circle or not. And if you just would ask me, as I'm just going to say it right now, a little makeshift, a little preview for it. If you were to ask me if Christian McCaffrey is in my circle of trust right now, I don't know if I could put him in there just because of the medical, Joe. Like, how could I feel confident about that guy starting or playing in every single game next year? Hell, can he be available in week one? Because he wasn't even able to do that last year. Like, just real quick on that, like, how crazy was that leading up? Because obviously Christian McCaffrey was drafted number one overall in how many different fantasy leagues, right? It was incredible. And what do we got? We got food? We got food getting delivered? Yeah, I saw you. You were pointing behind me like you were a quarterback, Brock Purdy. Oh, Carter, burritos in the back. Grab them. All right, we got it. Who is this guy? Did a DoorDasher just make it up all the way to the 10th floor?
Yeah.
How did that happen?
He infiltrated the building.
What kind of security do we have
the
here?
The butler let him in.
Matt Williams. What? Matt Williams was waving him in.
Matt Williams was telling him to stop, and the guy just came in anyway.
Oh, my God. Yeah, some security we got here, by the way. Anyways, that's fine. Where was I? Christian McCaffrey, the medical? Yeah, I'm not feeling great about it. Last year, week one, everyone's heads were falling off in fantasy. What do you mean Christian McCaffrey's not going to play? And they kept milking it and milking it and milking it.
Well, they slow played it.
They slow played the entire thing. They hoodwinked all of us.
And then Jordan Mason came out after having a monster game against the Jets and was like, yeah, I knew on Friday I was going
to
be starting.
Poor Jordan Mason. Never spoke again after that. Like, or didn't. Like, they just refused to. Like, they didn't want to ask him any questions. No, he's like, no, I'm out. I'm not getting got anymore. And
I don't blame the guy.
Yeah, like, he probably should have been, like the media training should have been on him for there, but it is what it is.
Well,
but,
and who knows on these injuries, you know, like.
You just have to be careful. Yeah.
Maybe they did at one point think that he was going to be available for week one, and then things changed. I don't know. So, whatever.
What I'm saying is, Joe, don't draft Christian McCaffrey for number one overall.
Here's, I think, the Christian McCaffrey thing is like threefold. Can he get through training camp? Can he last a full season? Like, those are all fair points.
It's getting older.
Well, can Kyle pick and choose how to use him so that he doesn't overuse him when he's fully available? And does he trust anyone else to be able to carry some of the load?
And he talked about that yesterday, this one with the media. As the 49ers reported to training camp, veterans reported to training camp yesterday. On-field activities start today with both the veterans and rookies. Kyle Shanahan on the workload plan for one, CMC and Trent Williams.
I mean, it's all on paper somewhere. It's too confusing for me to memorize, or I'll forget things that I can't just read on paper. But
you have to take into account to try to get these guys through camp healthy.
Oh, definitely. Which we always do. Last year, neither of them did camp, and that didn't help them go through the season either. So I'm glad that they're both here and healthy, and they get a chance to go back to me have a chance to build their bodies where they have a chance to get through the season like they have in the past.
And they couldn't work out last year. One of them, Trent Williams, well, he could actually, but he was just holding out for more money. And Christian McCaffrey just physically couldn't do that. And we were all just be like, what the hell's going on? What, CMC, like this is the reigning offensive player of the year. What's going on? And credit to Brian Baldinger, our 95.7 The Game NFL insider, Baldy Breakdowns is better than anyone else, watches all the film. He was the one that told us leading up and during the season when it was happening, yeah, probably should be worrying about the workload of one Christian McCaffrey during the season it happening. He's like, these guys just don't look the same the year after. Whether it's Sean Alexander, whether it's LaDainian Tomlinson, whether it's all these stud running backs that have an incredible usage rate for 1 year running and passing and all the different touches, they fall off. And lo and behold, a guy that is a workaholic, a notable workaholic when it comes to his offseason workouts, Chris McCaffrey, him not working out, yeah, that's a red flag. And hopefully, as you said, starting right now and starting today, they can just ease him in, and we don't get any update, no flare-ups. I do not want that. No flare-ups with the Achilles. And then if he can get through training camp and get to week one, I don't know if they play him in the preseason anymore. I don't even know if like what the hell the reason is for preseason games anymore if we're not going to play anyone. But if he can get through that and get to week one, I'll feel a lot better, Joe.
Well, they also,
it's a lot of time between then and now. It's a long time.
They also need to work in Isaac Arendo, and he's got to be able to get through camp too. This is a guy, I watched his first carry with Sam Lubman at training camp last year, and he got hurt. Yep. First carry, and he came up gimp. So, and we know he got hurt multiple times during the season. He's flashed. There's something there. He's got good hands. Obviously was a former wide receiver. He has unbelievable breakaway speed, but there's a question about him backing up CMC in terms of health.
And obviously we didn't even know what his status was going to be because Elijah Mitchell, we thought was going to be that guy. No, I know you're scoffing. But
another
like,
guy who's hurt all the time.
No, but he suffered that hamstring injury. He's out all year. And then that, again, how quickly things change. No CMC, no Eli, Jordan Mason, Garendo. Here you go.
Yeah, well, Mason ended up the season on the IR as well.
Except
at the end of the year.
That's what I'm saying.
I want to see the running back room behind CMC.
And Jordan James, obviously, their rookie out of Oregon. We'll see if he gets any action and how's he going to look in the preseason, what have you. So we shall see their little smaller bit of a running back, 5'9", 207, Jordan James. Maybe get the Grandy Man, our Oregon Duck affiliate, on one Jordan James. Here